Okay, we're good. So we're on Daf Tetam Beis. So the Gemara, yesterday's Daf, had mentioned that there are certain things a person is not allowed to do before Mincha. And this relates to the Gemara that's coming up. There are certain things that one is not allowed to do on a Friday afternoon around Mincha time. It comes up in the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Aleph. So the Gemara says that a person shouldn't go to the barber near Mincha until he davens. He shouldn't go to the Merachatz, the bath, the Bursaki, to where they process leathers. He shouldn't begin a meal, and he shouldn't go to a Din Torah. And the idea is that in most of these cases, we're concerned that if he gets involved, it'll take too long, and he'll miss the Zman Mincha. First, I'll go through the sugya, then I'll do the Halakha L'maisa. So I'm going to pick up around 8 lines from the bottom, where it says, The Mishnah says that if you began the meal, then you can complete the meal. But you shouldn't begin the meal Samach L'Mincha. And Samach L'Mincha means in half an hour before Mincha. And there's a whole Shakla Vitari in the Gemara whether it means Mincha Gedola or Mincha Katana. As you know, that there's Mincha Gedola on a 6-6 day would be 12:30 p.m. And Mincha Katana on a 6-6 day would be 3:30 p.m. So there's a Machloket Rishonim. Does it mean Mincha Gedola or Mincha Katana? We'll come to this in a little bit, okay? So it says around, excuse me, 8 lines from the bottom, when does a meal begin? So if a person begins the meal, then he doesn't have to interrupt anymore. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Mishay Yitol Yadav. Rav says, once you washed your hands, so the meal has begun. Rav Chanina Amar Mishay Atir Chagura. Rav Chanina says, when a person loosens his belt, means, and the Gemara is going to explain that in Bavel, they would have these belts, it's almost like a girdle. They would like wear a tight belt, and then before they would eat the meal, they would loosen the belt. So once they loosen the belt, that's the beginning of the meal. We're not matriachim anymore. It's Dav Mincha. He can go continue on with his meal. So the Gemara gave two explanations, either washing hands or loosening the belt. So the Gemara says, v'lo pli, there's really no machloke between these two hezbeirim, between these two explanations. Halan v'haluhu. One is for us here in Bavel, and the other is for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi explains, and we'll see shortly, that in Bavel, that they would have the belt. They would have this like tight belt that they would wear. And, you know, Aaron, somebody is moving, who is moving this cursor around? I don't know who it is. Anyway, so in Bavel, they would wear like this belt, like this girdle. So there, the meal begins when you loosen the belt. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't wear a belt like that. They would have it when you begin washing your hands. So let's look at Rashi on this for a minute. The fourth very wide line in Rashi, or the fifth very wide line, halan v'haluhu, b'nei bavel ayu chogrin atzman b'chozek. They would tighten their belts, so to speak, literally. U'sha'ochlan strichim lahatiram. And when they would eat, they would have to loosen it up. U'v'nei Eretz Yisrael lo yu no'agim kain b'hatarcha gura kodam l'tila yudayim. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't do that. So for B'nai Bavel, when you loosen the belt, that's the beginning of the meal. For B'nai Eretz Yisrael, it's when you wash the hands. Now, it comes out a little bit like sort of counterintuitively. It's Rav, who's in Bavel, says when you wash your hands. And Reb Chanina, who's in Eretz Yisrael, says when you loosen the belt. So loosening the belt is for Bavel, and washing the hands is for Eretz Yisrael. So Tosus explains that Rav was talking to Talmidim from Eretz Yisrael. Rav is giving shir in Bavel, but his Talmidim come from Eretz Yisrael. So everybody would go somewhere else. So the Talmidim from Eretz Yisrael would go to Bavel, and the people from Bavel would go to Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Chanina was in Eretz Yisrael, and his Talmidim were from Bavel. So each one is giving the halakha based on where the Talmidim are from. Let's look at Tosfos, around 8 lines from the bottom. It says Halan Valahu. It's around 3 lines above where it gets very wide. Pirish Bekuntras, B'nei Bavel, Yuchogun Atzim Bechozek. They would tighten their belts very much. B'chomakom B'samach. Excuse me, I didn't say right. B'chein Mashma B'samach. Midikamar, Hani Chavrin Bavloi, that these Babylonian colleagues, Laman Damar Kilad Arbor Shud, Mithishari Him Yan, Ilam Chokinale, or we'll come to it in a minute. Reb Chanina, Shayaba Eretz Yisrael, Yomir the Talmidav Shumi Babel, Reb Chanina, who's from Eretz Yisrael, is speaking to his Talmidim who are from Babel, Rav Shayami Babel, Yomir the Talmidav Shayumir Eretz Yisrael, and Rav is speaking to Talmidim from Eretz Yisrael, Lepisha Darkami El the Trachaik, Shayuchola Sokol Kapa Beitam. They would all want to get away, so to speak, from home because there's too many distractions when you're home. I guess everybody is quite familiar with that. So let me see. Brokanenahar, we have some more people here. So nice to see everyone. Anyway, so Aaron, it's nice to have you as well. Speak to you in a minute, Aaron. Anyway, So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Abaye, Hani Chavrin Bavloi, our Babylonian colleagues. Now again, in Babylonia, that's where they have the belt, and they loosen the belt at the beginning of the meal. Laman Damar Tfilat Arvit Rishut. According to the opinion that says that Mariv is Rishut, Mariv is elective, is optional. So it doesn't mean optional, like Tosos points out. It means if you have a mitzvah to do, so even though it's not a mitzvah overet, according to that opinion, it's not a mitzvah that will pass away with time, I still take that mitzvah over Mariv. That's the sheet of the Balei Tosfot. So he says, according to the opinion that Tfilat Arvid Rishut, Kaven Deshari Lehem Yanei Lo Matrechin Alei. So once they loosen the belt, according to the opinion that Tfilat Arvid is Rishut, that Tfilat Arvid is optional, so if you're sitting down for a meal before Mariv and you loosen your belt, so then you can eat the meal, you daven Mariv later. So he says, you mean that according to the opinion that says it's obligatory, you would make the person tie the belt and daven? He says, mincha, according to everybody, is obligatory. We learned that if they're matkil, they don't have to interrupt. So again, we said that when it comes to mincha, let's just focus on Babel. When it comes to mincha, the meal begins when you loosen the belt. Once you loosen the belt, I can continue on with the meal. I don't have to daven. That's not matriach me to go tighten my belt, my girdle, the whole thing. I can go forward with the meal. So the Gemara said that by Mariv, according to the opinion that Mariv is Rishut, once you loosen the belt, you can go ahead with the meal. So the implication is that according to the other opinion, it's obligatory, then even though you loosen the belt, you got to tighten it up and daven. But by Mincha, we see not that way. It says, Va'amar Rebbe Chanina b'sheyatir chakuro. So the top line on Yud Amar Aleph, he says, Hatam lo shchicha shichur, hacha shchicha shichur. So the Gemara says that there are other factors at play here. And one factor is that during the lunchtime meal, the mincha meal, people didn't drink so much. In other words, intoxicating beverages. So there's not some shav chashash that they might forget to daven mincha. Even though they loosen the belt, if we let them have the meal, they'll still be okay. He says, but at Mariv, they drink a lot. So then there's more, it's aggravating the problem, so there's more reason, if it's chova, to say, tighten up the belt and go and this is uncanny. Somebody, is somebody playing around this? One second. I don't know why this is up here. One minute. All right. Anyway, so the Gemara says, All right. Inami b'mincha came into kfilei zimna. Mirtad v'lo ati the mifsha. By mincha, since it's such a little amount of time to daven, so a person, he's like for tzitzit, he wants to make sure that he davens, and so there's more. We're less concerned that a person might, let everything just, roll and not daven. His arvit came into kuli lelya's man arvit lo mirtad. But by mariv, since he's got the whole night. So we're not afraid. In other words, he might push it off. Va'ati l'mifsha. So there's more reason for us to be machmir by Mariv. Okay, I'll just do a few more lines, and we'll summarize, and we'll take it all together, okay? So, Makif la Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet asks the Sron Kasha. So again, so the idea is that at Mariv, we hold Alach L'maisa that Mariv, we treat it like a chova, obligatory. But according to the opinion that says, really mitzad adin, that it's just optional, so then there's more reason for us to, so we said, if it's optional, then we said it's the same din, that once I loosen my belt, I can go ahead with it. But if we'll hold that Tfilas Arvis is chova, so then it comes out that there's more of a stringency by Mariv than by Mincha. In other words, if Arvis is chova, even though I loosen my belt, we make you daven. In other words, I don't care you loosen the belt. Tighten the belt and go ahead and daven. Because at Mariv, people tend to like let it slide. I got the whole night to do whatever. And then they drink at Mariv. So there's more reason that we should be machmir and say, daven right now. But by Mincha, people know they don't drink, and they know they only have a little bit of time to do it, so there's less reason for us to be stringent with it, and we can show a little leniency once they've loosened the belt and say, okay, we're going to let you eat now, and then we're going to rely on you to daven mincha a little bit later. Okay, now, all right, let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause, okay? So Matkif la Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet asks a strong kasha, Trichuta lemesar hemyane. Is it such a tircha to ask somebody to tie his belt again? What's this all about? I don't know why I'm seeing all of this. Okay. Anyway, is it such a tircha to ask somebody to tie their belt? He says, Va'od. Listen, why can't he just daven with the loose belt? In other words, like we say, like once a person, he loosened the belt, that's it. We're going ahead, go ahead with the meal. You loosened the belt already, let's forget it. It's all like water under the bridge. We're going to eat the meal and then, so why so terrible? Let him tie up the belt and let him daven without a belt. What's so chashuv that way? So the Gemara says, Mishum Shenemar, he called the Kron Elokecha Yisrael. There's a pasuk that says, prepare to greet your God, O Israel. So some of Farshim say this is only addressing the second issue. The second issue was that let him daven without a belt. So it's saying that wearing a belt is part of the preparations for tefillah. Putting on a belt is part of the preparations for tefillah. Some want to say that it's answering both objections in the Gemara. That it's saying putting on a belt is preparation, but it's also saying part of the preparation isn't just the belt. You have to put on nice clothes for davening, and that's a whole tircha to ask him to put on all these nice clothes, as we'll see a bit in the Gemara. Let me just do the Tosfos a little bit, and then I'll take a piece. So trichut lemesar hemyane lo leku hakib lislay mishanim shum shenemar hikol lekra lekef Yisrael velo chayish shenuyei kusha kamaita. The Gemara, according to Tosfos, doesn't answer the first question. Was is it such a tircha to tircha to ask him to tighten the belt? Michanch tzirich lezor chalatzav shemipalel. He says from here we see that a person has to like gird his loins when he davens. Uvamachzor vitri mifarish. Time to be in an azor shall he liber wed erva. So the Machzor vitri gives another reason why. Why you have to wear a belt. So wearing a belt is partly prepare to greet your creator. It's like a type, you know, you're doing preparations for tefillah, it's like putting on the suit, so to speak. And secondly, you don't want the heart to see the erva, the general area. V'davka lahen shlo yilehem mechnasayim. They're only for those people, they didn't wear pants. So they had to gird up before at the time of tefillah. Aval adidan sheishlanu avnei shlemech nesayim einanu strichem lezor. So Tosfos says Bizman Chazal they wore these long loose cloaks, so the heart could see the erva. So you have to wear a belt to block the line of sight, so to speak, between the heart and the erva. But according to the Bali Tosfos, the way we dress in Western society with pair of pants, there's like a belt that's built in already. But as I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, many people, especially Hasidim, they wear a gardel, they put on a gardel before davening. It's that type of hakana. And the general idea is that when a person davens, he should dress nicely. In other words, some people have the idea, well, it's just a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I can walk in with a t-shirt and shorts and sandals and I'm good to daven. And really the idea is that I should be like, you know, I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam and I should be in a presentable fashion. I should look nice. And I certainly not, should not, you know, like somebody said, you know, if you come home from I came home from work, I'm in a suit. Oh, I know I'll get, you know, into t-shirt and you know, like, you know, it's daven, you know what I mean? Like davening should be, you know, nicer. And so a lot of, in the yeshivish communities, they wear a hat, they put on a jacket, but even with, you know, the modern community, even if I'm not wearing a hat, but it's nice to dress nicely for davening. Now, I will mention, there's a tshuva from Rav Avadya. I don't approve of people wearing shorts for davening. I don't think that's the way that a person should ever daven, frankly. But Rav Avadya has a tshuva where he was answering these kibbutzniks if they could daven in shorts. And he said for people in Eretz Yisrael that they could. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's the way they wear, like if they're seeing the prime minister, they're working in shorts. So I think it depends somewhat on the location, the place where you're located. You know, it's a little bit like davening on Shabbos. You know, the Shabbos clothing in Eretz Yisrael is different than here, in my view. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, the way they dress for a wedding is different than here. Here, you know, the way people dress for Friday night, unfortunately, it's not the way I've ever seen people go to a wedding. You know, I heard Rob Willig speak once a little bit similar to that. Okay, let me just pause for a minute. Now, everybody's got a question. Raise your right hand if you have a question. Anybody's got a question? Ruth, you okay? Yosef, you're right? Okay, Mayor? You no hand? Fern, you're right? You have a... Okay, let me see. Okay, Aaron, you all right? Good? Okay, let me see. Anybody else? Seth? Let me see, Seth. Seth, you all right? Okay, good. Everybody good?
He gave you a thumbs up.
Okay, good, good. And a special welcome to Aaron Zuckerman. And it's so nice to be able to see him. He was one of our early Daf Yomi people here. And I hope everything is well with you, Aaron. And we're all happy to have you. Now, let me see, who else? This is Meir Avitan is with us, I think, tonight. And who are all these other people? I don't even know who they are. Who's E? Who's E is who? I don't know. All right, and David, all right, whoever's here, welcome everybody. Okay, I'm going to go on then. I tell you, in a way, it's improving attendance this way. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now the Gemara gets into a discussion of, you know, preparation for tefillah. So we're on Daf Yud around the eighth line, okay? All right, so the Gemara says, Rava Barav Huna, Rami Puzmaki Mitzali. Rava Barav Huna would put on these fancy leggings and daven, like fancy things on the feet. He says, Amar he kol nekrat v'gomer. He said, like, prepare to greet your God, O Israel. He says, Rava shari glime upachri yadei. Rava would throw off his cloak. He felt the cloak was a little too prestigious. In other words, he wanted to be, you know, dressed appropriately for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he felt that the cloak would, I guess, like the chitzoniot affect the pinimiot. It felt like it would, like, you know, be too elegant, like, for his frame of mind. So he says, so the Gemara says, so he would throw off the cloak, upachar yadeh, he would clasp his hands, umitzale, and pray, Amar ka'abda kamimari, like a servant before his master. It was, he's making a supplication before a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Amar vashi, chazinu le rav kahana, ki katsara ba'alma, shari glima upachar yadeh. So Ravashi says, I observe Rav Kahana, when there was sar, there was distress in the world, he would throw off his cloak and clasp his hands, umitzale, and pray, Amar ka'abda kamimare. He said, like a servant before his master. He says, ki ika shlama, when there was peace in the world, like there's no emergency he's davening about, but he's just davening. He says, labish umitkase mitate. If he would, like, dress layers of clothing and wrap himself, umitzale, Amar he kol nekrat l'kafei Yisrael. So the clothing seems like it reflects somewhat the time, the place, you know, in terms of what's going on in the olam, you know. A little bit, you could say, like, you know, there's a, you know, like, on, obviously, this is an extreme, like, on a Tanit Sibur, you know, you're dressing differently on a Tanit Sibur, you know, like, sometimes they would put, like, you know, ashes on the forehead of people. But anyway, so the Gemara says, Rava, Chazil Rav Hamnuna, the Kamarech Bitzlute. Rava, observe Rav Hamnuna, who was davening a very long Shmona Esrei. Amar, Manichim Chai Olam, Oskim Mechai Shoah. So he, Rava was critical of Rav Hamnuna. He says the biggest benefit is studying Torah. So he says, like, he's spending so much time on davening that's coming at the cost of his Torah. In other words, he should be studying less davening, more Torah. So he says here, for who savar, the Gemara says Rav Hamnuna held, Zman Tefillah Lechot, Zman Torah Lechot. He felt, Rav Hamnuna felt, that when I'm davening, I'm patur from learning, in other words, from Talmud Torah. So since I'm osek in the mitzvah of davening, it's not coming off, in other words, there's no chiv. In other words, the first sheet is saying, the way Rabbi looked at it, I always have a chiv to study Torah. And now, you know, that I'm davening is just like cutting away from this, from, you know, the overlasting obligation I have. The second way is saying, no, there's an obligation to study Torah, but once I'm davening, there is no obligation to study Torah. Now I have an obligation to daven. So that's the way he held. Rabbi Yirmiya, Habiyatev, Kamid Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya was sitting before Rabbi Zeira, Babu Aski B'Shmaita. They were Osek in the Limud, whatever. It sounds like from here, the Rabbi Yirmiya is the Talmud, and Rabbi Zeira is the Rebbe. So he says, Naga L'Sloya. It got late, it's time to daven, I don't know if it was Mincha, whatever is going on, but Habit Kamisari of Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya was hastening to get up. I got a daven, whatever, Mincha, whatever's doing. He says, Kari Alei Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira replied the following Pasuk to him, Meisiras no Mishmo Torah Gam Tefillah Toeva. That a person who's removing his ear from hearing Torah, his tefillah is an abomination. Meaning, he was very critical of Rabbi Yirmiya for rushing to go daven. Now, one of the Mepharshim says, they quoted here in the Art Scroll, that that Reb Zeira held, like that we're going to have in the Gemara tomorrow, that if you're like Reb Shim Bar Yochai, B'chavi Rav, that Torah Tanu Manatan, that certain people, their Torah is their whole tradecraft. That's what they do the whole day. So then they're patur from davening. In other words, if they study Torah the whole day, they're patur from davening. So here, Reb Zeira held that it's Reb Yirmiya. That Reb Yirmiya was in that category, that he's studying Torah, he doesn't have to daven. But Reb Yirmiya felt like he did have to daven. All right. Let me just pause for 1 second. Okay. If anybody has questions, just unmute yourself. Anybody have a question? Unmute yourself. Anybody? Don't be bashful. Yosef, you're good? Okay. Everybody good? Let me see what else doing. Eddie, you good?
Yes.
Okay. Mayor, how are you doing? Dr. Abitan?
Good.
Yeah, well, that's Mayor Rudzinski. Mayor Rabitan? All right, he must have walked away.
Yosef? Would you mind repeating the exact name of the Gemara that you're doing now?
Shabbos, like every Shabbos. You like candles Friday night, Shabbos. That's what we're doing, Shabbos.
Okay.
Anyway, Yosef, you were right?
She asked a good question. So far, what we did has nothing to do with Shabbos today,
in fact. Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
I didn't think you were asking that question, Ruth. I thought you were asking what Masechta was. But but we said already, or I thought I mentioned earlier, that at the beginning, the Mishnah is talking about things you do in the afternoon around Mincha time, because we're going to talk about things that, or you shouldn't do around Mincha on Friday afternoon. So as a preface to that, we're doing this. That's the... one second. All right. Anyway, that's where we're going with this. Okay. So let me go on now. All right. Yosef, you okay?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. Where are you, Yosef? You look like in some dungeon. Where are you?
I'm in my car.
What are you doing in the car? All right. Let's go on.
I got a newborn at home. I can't learn at home.
All right. Okay. And then. Which David? Who's David here? Who's David? David, unmute yourself for a second. Who is that?
David Jacob. Hi.
David. Yeah, but I can't see you, David. You gotta.
Hi, David. Fern here.
You have to click on the icon for this.
I tried. I don't know.
And then share.
I'm not telling you this.
Press the icon and then press share.
Press the icon then press share.
Icon of the video.
All right. All right, we're moving on. Anyway, everybody good. Malka, nice to have you as well. Okay, let us go further in the Gemara. All right, now we're on the last narrow line on Yud Amud Aleph. I wonder if we could daven with a minion this way. You know, we got a minion here, but just everybody's over with the thing. Okay, so the Gemara says, Me'ema Tayhad Chalad Adin. Now, we said in the Mishnah that there are certain things. Once you begin, so then I'm going to do that. I'm not going to daven Mincha. Me'ema Tayhad Chalad Adin. Rabbi Yirmiya of Rabbi Yona, it's Machloket Rabbi Yirmiya of Rabbi Yona, or it's not a, well, we'll see, it's not a Machloket, but we'll hear two opinions. Rabbi Yirmiya of Rabbi Yona, Chadamar Mishitavu Adayanim, when the Dayanim wrap themselves, it means they have a talus over the head, they put the talus over the head, and Rashi brings down the talus is for Yirat Shemayim, and also they don't want to be distracted things, they see the right or left. It works nicely in shul that way also, or hopefully. He says, V'chadamar mishivtuchu bali dinim. One says, once the litigants begin talking. Ruth, yeah, you need to mute yourself, Ruth, okay? Ruth Seif. Ruth?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what?
Mute yourself, okay?
Why?
Because I want quiet when I give the shiur, okay? Okay, good. Okay, now, V'chadamar mishivtuchu bali dinim. V'lo pli, there's no machloket. Hada'aski v'atu bedina. One is talking about, let's say they're handling cases, one case, then another case, So they already have the talus over the head. So then the when they begin the din is when the baledinim, when the litigants begin their arguments. That's the beginning of the case. So once the litigants begin their arguments, so we're not going to have mincha, we're going to hear the case. He says, Had lo aski v'atu bedina. The other cases, they haven't heard any cases yet. They're just opening the bezdin for the day. So then once they put the talus over the head, that's the courts in session, and Mela, they don't have to dab mincha, they'll do it afterwards. Okay,
Rabbi, I have a question.
Okay, just wait for a few minutes, I'll pause another 20 lines, okay? So, on the second line, Rav Ami and Rav Asi have Yatri v'Garsi b'ni Amude. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting and learning between the pillars, and remember we had them that even though there were 13 shuls in Tveria, they would only daven b'ni Amude, Heichet Hav Garsi, where they would learn. He says, V'chol Shait v'Shaitu havu Tavchia Ibra Dadasha. Every hour they would bang on the door bolt, Ba'amri, Iika, Itlay, Dina, Leo, Valeti. If anybody has a din Torah, let him come and hear. So let's look at the, by the way, I left out a Tosos earlier. Let me go back to this Tosos. It says, Rami Puzmiki, earlier, he says, Mikan Yeshlo Chiach, Shin Apollo Yechayf, Ela B'tishma B'yom Kippurim. Tosos says, I'm sorry, this is a little bit out of order, but Tosos says, remember we had the Gemara earlier, that one of the chachamim would put on these leggings, like these fancy leggings for davening. So he says, the Rai shouldn't daven barefoot except on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. It's interesting because in the Beis HaMikdash everybody would be barefoot, but here is B'davka, we shouldn't daven barefoot. Anyway, then the next Tosos is the Ikad Itlay Din Leol. Tosos says, Mashma Da'adiv Din Mitama Torah. It sounds like judging a Din Torah is like more important than studying Torah. In other words, if I could judge a din Torah, that's more important than even Talmud Torah. So the idea is like the world, like he has a little bit in the arts where like the world is created, for Yishuv and everything should be in the state of Shalom. And when you're judging a din Torah, you're creating like this, hopefully, this perfect Shalom in the world and doing Hashem's will in this world. Anyway, so he says here, Rav Chista, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Yatfu Bedina Kula Yoma. Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna were sitting in din the whole day. Habakuchalish Libayu. So Rashi is to pshat him, but his favorite pshat is they were famished, they were hungry because they hadn't eaten before they began the din Torah. So they were under the misimpression that it's a mitzvah to keep judging the whole day. Like we see Moshe Rabbeinu, we ostensibly did that. He says, Tanalahu Rav Chiya Barav Midifte. So Rav Chiya Barav Midifte taught to them by Amoda Amo Moshe and Aboker at Arif that the people stood over Moshe from the morning to the evening, in other words, to judge Dinei Torah. V'chi Talel Darcha Shemoshe Yoshev Dan Kuliyom Kulo. So do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu actually spent the whole day? In other words, if you read and translate the Pasuk, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was judging people the whole day. I read the Pasuk, and I read the translation. If you open up the Chumash, you read the translation. It sounds like Moshe was busy the whole day, he's judging cases. And then that's where Yitro comes and says, you need to have these other people help you out. He says, Torah to ma tainase, when would his Torah ever be done? So he says, El omar lecha, kol dayan shedan din emet lamito, afilu sha'achad, that any judge who judges like the din Torah la'amito, to its truth, means he's got to discern the truth and then issue the verdict. He says, it's as if he became a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh Bereishis, in the creation of the world. That relates to what we were talking about before, about the I think that the din Torah is even more important than Talmud Torah. He says, "Ketiv ha'acha v'yamoda amo Moshe min aboker ad ha'arev." One pasuk says the whole people stood over Moshe Rabbeinu min aboker ad ha'arev from morning till evening. "Uchtiv ha'tam," and it says in the beginning of Breishit, "Vayeri voker yom echad." It was an evening and a morning, so it's a similar turn of phrase. So Chazal teaching us that Moshe Rabbeinu did not spend the whole day judging people. He may have spent an hour judging people, but when a dayan judges din emet, he does emes, like you'd say, like Yiddish. You do the emes in the world, and you do the true din Torah. So it's like you're a shoot up with Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're like a partner with Kadosh Baruch Hu, Maaseh Bereishit, because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and then they had in the art scroll and the Dor Mabul. Everybody was stealing from everybody, and it's like destroying the world. So when I'm judging a din emes, I say this is your money, this is his money. So I'm giving kiyum to the world. I'm giving sustaining the world. So that's like a shutaf, like a partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Maaseh Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and now we're keeping the world, hopefully, going in its right path. All right, I didn't forget about you, Fern. Just give me a little bit more. Okay. I don't know if we're tight on the time or not. Nobody's coming to the base measure at 9 o'clock, but I don't know if people want to go to sleep at 9 o'clock or not. But let's keep moving. You can't hear Aaron? Aaron? What? Can people hear me?
It's breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
You're breaking up. I can hear you, but you're breaking up.
We hear you just fine. It must be your problem, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay. All right, the Grey Nick people are good, Aaron. I'm sorry. There's nothing more that I could do. I did turn a little bit closer to the speaker, though, okay?
Too much sun.
All right. Let's go back. So he says, Amatayo Shvin Bedin. This feels a little bit like Hollywood Squares or something like that. I see everybody on the screen. Everybody's got these little quips. Okay, so he says, Amatai Yoshvin, and it's very nice seeing everybody. You know, with this coronavirus, I don't see anybody. And even the base medrash at YU, it's closed. I think the first time since this yeshiva opened, to the best of my knowledge, that the base medrash has been closed. It's like 120 years, you know, the base. It's very upsetting. But all right, let's see back in the Gemara. So, Ad Matai Yoshvin B'din. So, how long can they sit in din? In other words, at what time should they break off from, like, let's say I'm sitting in court and I'm a dayan. When do I say it's, we have to break off. So, Amrav Sheshed, Adzman Suda. Up until the time of the suda, we'll clarify what it means, the time of the meal. So Amar of Chama, my kro, dechtiv, ilach eretz. What's the pasuk that supports this? Dechtiv, ilach eretz shemal kechnar, v'sarayach baboker yochel. Woe to you, land, excuse me, that you're...
Rebbe, are you sick?
What?
I said, Rebbe, are you sick?
Yeah, okay, let's mute it and I'll come in with it a little bit. Okay, so Ruth, okay, I'll pause periodically. Thank you for your concern. Okay, now, it says, Ilach Eretz Shemal Kechnar, what do you land that your king is like a fool? Sarayach Baboker Yochelu, let me get some water. And your officers have to eat in the morning. Ashrei Eretz, fortunately you land, Shemal Kech Ben Chorin, that your king is like a free man. The sarayach ba'ed yochel, and the officers eat in the right time. Bigvura v'lobashti, with strength and not with like drinking. So the Gemara says bigvura shel Torah v'lobashti shel yayin. In other words, it's talking about that they eat. In other words, they're eating after the gvura of Torah. In other words, they do the din Torah and then they eat and they don't like inebriate themselves. So now we'll clarify when they break off. Tan Rabbanan shari shona. Ma'achal Ludim, that the first hour of the day, that would be between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m., is Ma'achal Ludim. The Ludim eat at that period of time. So Rashi explains the Ludim are cannibals, which sounds terrible, but they like eating, and they invite some friends for breakfast, you could say. Anyway, or you get the idea. So that's Ma'achal Ludim. Shnia Ma'achal Listim. The second hour of the day is the hour for bandits. If you're a bandit, so you're busy working the whole night, you know, doing your livelihood, and then the second hour of the day would be from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. If it's a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day, that's when you would normally. And again, Bisman Chazal, people would usually eat two meals a day. You have like one meal during the day, lunch, brunch, and then another meal, dinner. They didn't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's just one meal and then another meal. Two meals a day, normally. Except on Shabbos, you have three meals. So he says here, Shlishi Ma'achal Yorshin, the third hour of the day, which would be from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., that's like the cozy hour. It's a little different maybe than today. It's like the people who inherit a ton of money, they don't have to work, so they sit around, they eat then. He says, Revi'it Ma'achal Polim, the fourth hour of the day, and that would be from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, is the laborers. The laborers go out to the fields in the morning, and then they would eat. He says, and it was, they go out early in the morning, that is, you know, like at the crack of dawn. He says, I mentioned this before, past. I told you I worked on a kibbutz once for a brief period of time, and I tell you, I'd be out in the fields at the crack of dawn, and then you come back, and so he says here, Chamishit, the fifth hour, is Ma'achal Kol Adam. The fifth hour of the day, that's when everybody eats. So that would be between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. So the Gemara says, Inis is true, but Amar Rapapa, Rabbi Yitzman Suda Lepol, Rapapa says that the fourth hour of the day is the general time for people to eat, which would be between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. He says, Ella, Rabbi Yitzman Chalpol Dam, the Gemara revises the Braisa, or its understanding of the Braisa, the fourth hour of the day is Ma'achal Kol Adam. The fourth hour of the day, which would be from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., is when everybody normally eats. Chamishit Ma'achal Polim, the fifth hour of the day, which would be from 9 a.m. to, the fifth hour of the day would be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., that's the workers, like the laborers. Shishit Ma'achal Talmidei Chachamim, the sixth hour of the day, 11 to 12, that's Ma'achal Talmidei Chachamim, that's when the Talmidei Chachamim, that's when they eat, and that's when the court would break, and it was the sixth hour of the day, they're Talmidei Chachamim, they break in the sixth hour of the day. He says, Mikan Ba'elach, Kizorik Eben Lechema, from, if you eat after after 12 noon, you're fasting every morning till 12 noon, and then you only eat after 12, it's like throwing a rock into, a chayman is like a leather pouch used for wine. In other words, if I throw the rock in, like it like may appear that the level is higher, but it's really not higher. So according to one Lashon Rashi, it doesn't do good, it doesn't do bad. And now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye lo Amran lo Tam Midi Bitzafra. Abaye says it's only true if you didn't have something to eat in the morning, about Tam Midi Bitzafra late in the month. As long as you had something to eat in the morning, so it's like Nishka Ferlach is what he would say, it doesn't matter so much. Okay, now, all right, now let me pause. Fern, you were patient. Fern, yeah, what's your question?
Yeah, very simply, the mandamar that says that the trial begins when the litigants start, is it when they just state their case, when they bring evidence,
you know, I mean,
opening statements, yeah, so to speak?
You know, it means the Bali Dinim come in and begin to present their case. As soon as one of them begins speaking, the case has begun.
As soon as someone utters something.
Right. As soon as he begins presenting his case, then that's the beginning of the Din Torah.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions from anybody? Anybody who has a question? Yosef, what's up?
The Talmid Chachamim would eat at 11 or 12 o'clock?
Between 11 and 12, it was the sixth hour. The sixth hour is from 11 a.m. to 12. So during that period of time is when they would eat. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so let me go further. you know, let me just pause for a little bit of halacha here. So this is, now, I'm surprised no one that you didn't ask me this question. I thought somebody for sure was going to ask you this question, is how do we do this with mincha today? In other words, it's saying, like, you can't sit down for a meal before mincha. And so there's a lot of different shita of the Shulchan Aruch. We don't have so much time to go through. I don't know. It seems like it's taking more time with this computer. I don't know if it's whatever, but or maybe it's just because I began the daf a little earlier. I don't know what the issue is. But the Mechaber brings down that you can't even have a Suda Katana near Mincha Gedola. According to the Mechaber, and that's the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam, even a small meal, Samach L'Mincha Gedola, and a half hour before Mincha Gedola, so 66 days, so beginning at 12, I can't even eat, according to the Mechaber, unless I daven Mincha first. And I can't daven Mincha till 12:30. Then, I'm making this short here, the Ramah brings other Shitot. The Ramah says, V'yesh chol kemusfir lehu, the Suda Katana mutar. He says, some say that a Suda Katana, I could have a Suda Katana before Mincha Gedola. He says, V'eino asur rak sudat nisu in omila. It's only like having a big meal, like a wedding feast near Mincha Gedola. Then I have a problem. He says, then the Ramah says, V'yesh chol kemusfir lehu, Gedola samach l'mincha Gedola. Some say that even a big meal near Mincha Gedola is permissible, the Ramah says. He says, V'yeshomrim, the Suda Katana, afilu samach l'mincha Katana shari. Some say that even a small Suda near Mincha Katana is permissible. And he says, V'nahagula kel kishtei hasparot. So we Ashkenazim, I don't know about the Sephardim, we're making it according to both Shitot, meaning Suda Gedola, samach l'mincha Gedola, like a big meal near Mincha Gedola is permissible according to the Ramah, and a Suda Katana, samach l'mincha Katana, a small meal near Mincha Katana. Now, then the Ramah says, I don't have time to get it, but the Aruch HaShulchan brings down another kula, and that is First, he says if it's like a place where people are summoned to mincha, but we're not summoned here to mincha normally. But I think he says that if a person, where is it? You know, I feel like asking Yosef to get me a safer. One second. I mean, I have it here.
I got it.
He says, he says one coolie says it's only if you're davening by yourself. That's what you're accustomed to do. So I can't learn, I can't eat. He says, but ragile palel beit haKnesset, if you're accustomed to davening in shul, then it's permissible. So if I go to a minyan all the time, if you remember what those things are, that's when 10 people get into a room and daven together. So then that's another heter that you can rely on that for having meals. Okay, everybody good? Okay, Mayor, it's nice to see you, Mayor. I was calling you before, but you didn't respond. You were absent and AWOL. Mayor, unmute yourself one second. Unmute yourself. I can't hear you. Unmute. No! Unmute! All right, skip it. It's not working out well. Okay.
Let's go off the job.
All right, we got to go on. All right, let me go further.
All right, I think I'm unmuted. All right. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, nice to see you, Mayor. Okay, let's go back. All right, now, so around 10 lines from the bottom on Yud Amud Aleph. Okay. So Amar Ravada Bar Avam in Palel Damsu Atoba Beit Americhatz. So Ravada Bar Avam says that a person could daven in the bathhouse. In other words, I could daven Shmona Esrei in a bathhouse. Now the Gemara is going to explain the bathhouse had three rooms. One room, the most interior room, people are undressed. Then the middle room, people are dressed and undressed. And the outer room, people are dressed. So, but we assume that Ravada Bar Avam is talking about the room where everybody is undressed. So he says here, Meitveh. So this is where we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "Anifnas lebeit americhatz, if a person enters the bathhouse, makom shem bnei adam omdim levushim, if he's in the outer room where everybody's dressed, so yesh sham mikra utfila, so he can recite Shema there, he could daven there." He says, "Ve'in sirich lamor shelat shalom, he can say shelat shalom." The Gemara's going to learn that if I say shalom aleichem, it's really the Shem Hashem. Using shalom is the Shem Hashem. So, but I can in the outer room, I could do everything. U'miniach tefillin, I could put on my tefillin. Ve'in sirich lamor shenu choleitz, and certainly if I'm wearing it, I don't have to take it off. Now that's room A. Room B. Makom shem neidam omdim arumim levushim, the middle room where people are dressed and undressed. So he says, Yesham Shelet Shalom, I could still use the Shem Hashem, or you say Shalom Aleichem, I could use the Shalom, he says. He says, Ve'ein Sham Mikra Utfila, I cannot recite Shema or Daven there. Ve'eino Choleitz Tefillin, I don't have to take off my Tefillin. Ve'eino Maniach L'Chachila, but I shouldn't put it on L'Chachila there. Makom Shem Edam Omdim Arumim, now in the inner room where everybody is undressed, he says, Ein Sham Shelet Shalom, there's no Shelet Shalom there. Ve'ein Sirich Lomar Mikra Utfila, I can't recite Shema or Daven. Cholitz tefillin, I have to take off my tefillin. Vein sirich lamar sheinu manichan. Certainly, it goes without saying that I can't put it on there. So the question is, how could Rav Ada Bar Ava say that I could daven in the Beit HaMerachatz when it says you can't daven, you can't say Shema there, you can't do anything? We assume it's the inner room. He says, so kikamar Rav Ada Bar Ava, b'merachatz she'ein bo adam. So the Gemara says, when Rav Ada Bar Ava made a statement, again, Rav Ada Bar Ava is an Amara, the Braisa is from Tanayim. So when Rav Ada Bar Ava made a statement, he's talking about a bathhouse without people, and there was nobody's in the bathhouse. It's totally devoid of people. So the Gemara says, that's nice, but v'ha'amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, merachatz she'amru afa pi she'ein bo adam. So, but Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina says when the Chazal referred to prohibitions in a bathroom at a bathhouse, they're referring even if there's nobody in the bathhouse, and the Beit HaKisei, even if it's been cleaned up, they didn't have plumbing, obviously, but even if I go into the Beit HaKisei, I clear away all the tzoa, so I still can't, you know, say a davar shemikdusha there. So we're still in trouble. So Ella Kikama Rav Ada Bechadati. When Rav Ada said that he could daven in a bathhouse, it meant a new bathhouse. The bathhouse had never been used. It was like from scratch. He says, so that's nice. But Rabina, who lived after Rav Ada had a question. His minol beit kisei mahu. If a person designated a structure as a bathhouse, what's the halachic status? Ish zimun or wein zimun? It means, is that status of designating it, is that legally significant or not? So that was his question. That's Ravina, and he's at the end of the time in the Amoraim. Below Ishtalei, and he, Ravina, was not able to resolve his question. He says, and if indeed Rav Ada bar Ava was saying that you could daven in a bathhouse, a new bathhouse, so it's been designated as a bathhouse, then the answer is that you don't have to worry about it. So since Ravina, though, was not able to resolve it, it doesn't sound like that's the way it's working. So the Gemara says, Lav hu adin l'merchas. Now, the statement was really about designating something for a bathroom. So the Gemara assumes that they both rise and fall together, that the bathhouse and the Beit HaKisei would be the same thing. So the Gemara says, Lav hu adin l'merchas. It would not be the same thing by a bathhouse. Lo, Dilma, turn page on Yudam base. Dilma, let me get it. Dilma, Shani Beit HaKisei, demise. It could be that a Beit HaKisei is like more repugnant, meaning if I have, let's say, a new bathroom, a latrine, and a new bathhouse, so when I say this is the bathhouse, this is the latrine, so latrine, like just saying, like I davened in a latrine, you know what I mean? It's like repugnant, you know, like to hear, like it's a davar maus. So therefore, the hazmana for a Beit HaKisei, even though nothing was ever placed there, that's so much more repugnant. But the hazmana for a base of Merchatz, you couldn't, if it's a new base of Merchatz, so you could daven there. Okay, any questions from anybody? Anybody's got a question, unmute yourself and scream. All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, now, the top line on Yud Amud Beis. Okay, I'm trying to go a little quicker just to finish up. I don't know why it's taking so long. Okay, it could be that we're not used to this, or I'm not used to the whole technology. Ein Sham Shelet Shalom. Now, we said if in the bathhouse, in the inner room, you're not allowed to use the word Shalom Aleichem. You can't use the Shem Hashem. All right, Mayor, I lost you. He says, Messiah le the Rav Hamnuna. So the Gemara says this seems to support Rav Hamnuna, Mishmei De'ula. The Amar, Asuli Dam Shetein Shalom L'Hachavei Rav Merachatz. That Rav Hamnuna says you can't greet your friend in the Beit HaMerchatz. I can't say Shalom Aleichem. Mishum Shneimar Ba'ikra Lo Hashem Shalom. So it says that Gidon, who was one of the Shoftim, he called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Shalom. Hashem is peace. So the Gemara takes it that Shalom is one of the Shemot of Hashem Hashem. So Elamiata Heimnuta Nami Astra Lameimu Beit HaKisei. So that's true. So it's the word Heimnuta. Heimnuta means Emuna, but it means like, let's say we have a deal, they'd say hemnuta, like it's like by our faith. So am I not allowed to use that word in the Beit HaKisei? Dechtiv hakel ha-ne'eman. That's an adjective that's used to describe Hashem, the faithful God. So am I not allowed to use that? So the Gemara says, v'chitei mahachanam, and you say, taka, yeah, you can't use that either. He says, v'ha'ama rab bar machasya, amar rab chama bar gurya, amar rab, shari l'meimar hemnuta Beit HaKisei. A person could say hemnuta Beit HaKisei. So how is it that a person is allowed to say hemnuta Beit HaKisei, but he can't say Shalom in the Beit HaKisei. So Hatam Shem Gufa Lo Ikri. He says by Hemnuta, that's not really Shem Hashem. That's an adjective. He says Hatam Shem Gufa Lo Ikri Hachi. Dimitargaminan Elaka Mehemna. The targum is like a faithful God. So faithful is not a name for God, it's a description of God. He says, Hacha Shem Gufa Ikri Shalom, that Hashem is called Shalom, that's his name. He says, Dechti Ba'ikralo Hashem Shalom. He said, Hashem Shalom. I don't have time because we're running out of time, but, you know, so he brings down here in the Art Scroll and also in the Aladot by Rabbi Dickstein that, you know, some people, when they write letters, so they'll write Shalom, but they won't write the whole word out. They'll write like Shin Lamed Vav with a slash over the Vav. They don't write the whole Shalom, because Shalom is a Shem Hashem, or they'll write Shin Lamed Mem, not with a Vav. In other words, because it's a Shem Hashem. All right, I'm running out of time, so I've got to keep moving. Okay?
Writing it in English, the same problem?
In English, I mean, what would be in English? You'd say peace?
No, write Shalom.
You mean S-H-L-O-M. Yeah, I think that I think that would be a problem. All right.
Name their sons Shalom.
Right. So they talk about if they have if someone's name, his personal name is Shalom, so there are poskim who say that they could be called in the Beit HaMerchatz, but it's something to ha'ara, you know, to keep in mind, you know. like sometimes you could walk into a bathroom and somebody says, oh, Shabbat Shalom, you know, something like that, which I don't, you shouldn't be talking to the bathroom to begin with, but I think it's even worse, you know, if you're saying the word Shalom, you get the idea, or Shalom Aleichem, you know, that type of thing. All right, now, all right, but Amar Rav Bar Machasi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Hanotein Matam Lechaveiro, Tzarich Lo Hodiyo. If a person gives a gift to his friend, he has to notify him that he's giving him the gift. He says, Shenemar Ladat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. It says in the Torah, it was last week's Parsha of Shavua, it says, I'm giving you the Shabbos, you're a Ladinim, and I want you, Moshe, to tell Klal Yisrael, Ladat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, so they'll know that I am Hashem who sanctifies them. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, Ladat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Matana Tov Yesh Li Beikin Azai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I have this wonderful gift in my treasure house, V'Shabbat Shema, the name of the gift is Shabbos. He says, Vani Vakesh Lat Yisrael, Leich Vodiyam, I want to give it to the Jewish people. Go and notify them. He says, "Mikan Amar Shulam Liel." So from here, Rosh Liel said, "Anotin Pat Latino Tzrich Lo Di Leima." If I give a loaf of bread to a child, or let's say a challah roll to a child, I have to notify the mother. In other words, I only have the kid in front of me, and I give him some bread. I have to notify the mother. He says, "My Avi, so what should he do to the kid to notify, to put the mother on notice?" Amar Abaye, Shayf Le Mishcha Umali Le Kukla. He should put like oil on the child's face. And kukla is like this blue ointment on his eye. And Mela, he'll come home, and the mother would say, "Where did you get this oil and the blue ointment?" And say, "Oh, Plony gave it to me, and he gave me a loaf of bread as well." So that's the thing. But in the Chayshlik Shafim, but today, in the Zman Gemara, people are choshesh that some of Kisha for sorcery, the kid comes back. So he says, "My, what should he do? Amar Papa, Shayflei Meoto Amin. He should take some of the food and smear it on his face." And then the mother, you know, will say, "How did you get this food on your face?" And say, "Oh, Plony gave it to me." Blah 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 blah. And that'll lead it. Now, now one idea is, excuse me. This is Tosus points out. This is only when you give me a gift. Sometimes people give tzedakah. So if I'm giving tzedakah, so then I don't have to notify the person who I'm giving it to. I can keep it secret, you know, like the Gemara in Ksubas has cases like that. And then here the Gemara says, Ladat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. So there's Chafetz Chaim on this. Like, Mekadishchem can mean who sanctifies you, but we could say Mekadishchem, Perenio, okay, what are you doing? Okay, you could say Mekadishchem that, like, I'm like betrothing you, like Kiddushin. And he says, the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, he says that, let's say you have a chasen and a kala, and you know, so they have the engagement ring on it. So then, let's say there's a point in time where the chasen and kala, they're not seeing each other so much, and everybody starts like gossiping. He says that he says the nashim hamuzarot b'levana, the women who spin by the moon. It's a term from the Gemara in Gittin. It means that the gossipy women are talking blah 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 blah, but nobody knows the truth. But once the kala takes off the ring and she's not wearing the ring anymore, everybody knows that's the end of the shidduch. So same thing with Shabbos. Shabbos is this matana toba, this tremendous gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu is given. Klal Yisrael is the kala, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the chasen. So the tremendous gift is the Shabbos. So as long as we observe Shabbos, so then we're keeping the ring on our finger, then it's clear that we still have this, you know, tremendous relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. But once Chas V'Shalom, people begin to move Chalal Shabbos, then the ring is off the finger, and it's a whole different parsha. All right, let me go further. Now, okay, so I'm up to Ini. Everybody with me? We're midway down the column on Yud Amud Beis. So Ini, is this true that you have to notify the recipient? Ba'amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina, notim tam chaver ein sirich lahodio, that if you give a gift, you don't have to notify the recipient of the gift. He says, Shenemar Moshele Yudaki Kiran or Panav the Roito. This is list past week's Parsha of Shavua, which unfortunately I was not able to hear. That Moshe didn't realize that his face glowed. You know, after he had received the Torah, he came down from Har Sinai, so his face glowed, he didn't realize it. So apparently Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't say to him, you know, I've done this, and now your face is glowing. He says, and the Torah says that he had to put a masveh on, a veil on his face. He says, Lo kasha, habimilta d'avi l'gluye, habimilta d'lo avi l'gluye. It depends on whether it will be known anyway. In other words, like, with the glowing of the face, so Hashem didn't tell him, but when he goes out in the world, so people will tell him your face is glowing, and really he'll realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu did this to me. And that's self-evident. So I don't have to notify you something where all the relevant facts are self-evident, or will be self-evident. He says, but the Gemara says, but Shabbat David Ligluye, but Shabbos also I mean, everything is like, if he tells him, yeah, I want you to rest on Shabbos, so everybody's going to realize that's Sibui from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So why does Hashem have to tell him, you know, tell him that I'm the one who's Mekaddish Hu? So he says, Matan Schar Lo Abi Legluya, the reward for observing Shabbos, that's not mentioned Mefurish in the Torah. And we'll have it later on in our Masechta, that, you know, you get a Nachala B'li Mitzarim, like an inheritance without boundaries. In other words, a tremendous reward, that's the part that Hashem was saying, I want you to tell him, you know, about Shabbos. Okay, let me keep moving. Rav Chista, now it comes out Rav Chista is a Kohen. Habanaki B'yadei Tartei Matan to the Torah. He was holding two sets of matnos kahuna, means matanos are just chulin animal. If every chulin animal you shecht, you give the zroa l'chayayim akeva. The zroa is the foreleg, the l'chayayim is the jaw, and the keva, we know from chulin, who remembers what the keva is? Scream out if you know what keva is. Let me hear the word. What's keva?
Stomach. One of the stomachs. But wait, the moah.
Exactly right.
The moah.
Absolutely right, Fern. The abo mesum or moah. Where's Ed? Ed, you with me, Ed? Dr. Parver. Right? Dr. Parver. All right. He's on. All right. Anyway.
The abo mesum is the stomach similar to the human stomach.
Yeah, all right. That's it. So that's what it is.
Of course, stomachs. The abo mesum is similar to human stomachs.
All right. We got it. Okay. Now, anyway, So he's holding all these pieces of meat. Now, it's a little bit of chiddush here. Rav Chista lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's machloket in the Gemara, whether you're chayv to give matnas kuna outside of Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, where he was, they did it. So Amar, kumanta ati ba'amar li, shmaitza charata, mishmei derav, yehiv delay nehele. He says, anybody, now again, the matnas kuna don't have any special kedusha. It's just mamon a kohen. He can give it to anybody he wants. He says, it's not like truma. He says, anybody who can tell me a new member of Rav that I hadn't heard before, you have all these matnot kahuna. He says, Amarli Rav Bar Machasya Hachiyam Rav. So Rav Bar Machasya said, this is what Rav says, Hanotein Matan L'Chaveiro Tzarich L'Hodiyo, that if a person gives a gift to his friend, he has to notify him. He says, Shenemar L'dat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. He says that you should know that I'm Hashem who sanctifies you. Yahavi Nehele. So he was so happy with that, he gave him the matanos. Amar Chavim Lech Shmait the Rav Kulihai. He says, so the recipient, Rav Bar Machasya. So Rav Bar Machasya said to him, are the words of Rav so precious to you? He says, Amar Lei Yin. He said, yeah, absolutely. Amar Lei, Hainu Da Amar Rav. So he says, that's what Rav said. And here it sounds like he says, Melta Al Bishayu Yakira. That Melta is like the fine fabric, so the one who wears it, he appreciates it more. I mean, if I always wear, you know, like the nicest fabric, like I appreciate it. That's the way to do it. So that's more, so in other words, you studied by Rav, and you've taken all his memories, so everything you hear from him is like very precious. Amarlei, Amarav Hachi, he said, did Rav really say that? Batrita adifli mikamaita. I like the last statement even better than the first statement. V'ihava nakina achriti yehimelach. If I had more matnos kuna, I would give them to you. You know, there's a piece from Rav Mordechai Gifter. I remember reading this. I don't remember the son-in-law's name. He lives in the Far Rockaway area. Maybe someone will remind me here. Anyway, so he wrote up a, when Rav Gifter passed away. Rav Gifter, actually he studied at Yeshiva Binetzik HaFalchanan, and then he went to study in Tells in Europe. So when he was in Tells, so the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva, he said to him, Rav Gifter was a young man when he went to Europe. There were very few, there were, in the 1930s, there were some Americans who went to study in Europe. There were not many, but a few hundred that did go and then came back to America. It's like, so the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, the Rosh Yeshiva would give a shiur to the town, you know, once a week. He would give a shiur for the people in town. So he said to Rav Mordechai Gifter, who wasn't Rav Mordechai Gifter then, he was a young, young bacher, he said, would you like to come and hear the Torah? So Rav Gifter, and he said that Rav Gifter would always emphasize that he was young and he wasn't so developed at that point in time. He said, I think I'd benefit more from studying here in the Beis Medrash. So I can't remember what the Rosh Yeshiva said to him. I think the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, Me'alta Al-Bishayu Yakira, that like the words of the Rosh Yeshiva should be like precious to you, like this fine fabric. And the son-in-law, when he wrote the article, he said that like the like the fabric like bends to like the shape of the neck. In other words, like a person gets used to the Torah from the Rebbe, and eventually it moves all together. Like, you know, every Talmud, when you begin to study with a Rebbe, you have to adjust a little bit to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is not going to do everything the way you like to do it. The Rebbe is going to do it the way he likes to do it. So every Talmud has to adjust his learning and even his sense of thinking to line up to some extent with the Rebbe's approach to the sugya, and that's the ultimate goal of learning, that when you're done, that you could look at a new situation and say, this is the way my Rebbe would have approached this issue, even though I didn't hear it specifically from him, but this is the way he would have approached it. Anyway, let me finish up the draft quickly. And
Rabbi Reisman, by the way. Rabbi Reisman is his name.
Is who? Is the son-in-law?
Rabbi Reisman.
Rabbi Yisrael Reisman? Okay, yeah. I don't think that was the son-in-law who wrote this article. Maybe it was. I got to look. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. All right, maybe it was Rabbi Reisman. Okay, thank you so much.
There's another son-in-law, yeah. Avram Chaim Foyer.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably it. That was it, Rabbi Foyer. Rabbi Foyer,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
That's Shaykh's first cousin.
Right, oh, well, we got Mishpacha here. Okay, that's it. It's Rabbi Foyer. Okay, thank you both. You both helped a lot. You see, everybody has the Torah out there. Okay, let me just wrap it up with the daf. These daf are getting longer now that we're online. But Kanan Har, it's a nice group tonight. I think we have about, how many, 12, 15 people? I can't figure out how many we've got here. Let me just take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4.
11.
And with me it's 12, right? Oh, no, I'm 11. I'm 11. Okay. Okay, and Malka, we haven't heard anything from you tonight, Malka. Malka?
Can we finish it up?
I'm listening.
All right, sounds good. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Now, so, all right, let's do a wrap. So the Gemara says, "Va'amarava bar machasi amaravcham bar guri amarav lulama yishin adam ben obein abanim." A person shouldn't favor one child over another child. Shemeshvil meshkal shnei slime meilad shnatan Yaakov liyosef yotir mishorbanav. That for two slime worth of meilat, which is nicer fabric, that Yaakov gave to Yosef more than his other sons. And when he made the ketonet pasim, the coat of many colors, he says, "Nidkanu boachav v'nikalgel devar yodu bovatenu tzrima." That the brothers got jealous, and one thing led to another, and our forebears went to Egypt, which is apropos for this time of the year. Now Rashi takes it that the ketonet pasim weighed more than two slime, but Rashi thinks that maybe it was just like a wrap around the wrists. In other words, everybody got like a ketonet, and he had like these two wraps around the wrist, like, you know, insignia that he's the special son. But whatever it is, that was it. Now this Tosos, we don't have time to get into it. Tosos says that even though, look at Tosos, even though it was decreed on them anyway, they had to Babadumi Nuotam, he says, but maybe the Gzer was worse because of this. In other words, like it begins with Latus Yitzchak, or 30 years before, if it's 400 years with Latus Yitzchak, or if it's 430 years, 30, you know, 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak, but then at a certain point they're enslaved in Egypt. So that part got worse because of this favoritism. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara, three lines before it gets wide. V'amar Rav Bar Mechasi Amar Recham Bar Guri Amar Rav L'lam Yechazer Adam be a shave be ear shishivata krova. A person should try to sit, dwell in a city that's a recently, you know, settled city. He says shemito shishivata krova avonoteha miwatim, because since it's like more recently settled, so the bank account of Aveirot is lower. In other words, now ideally they pointed out in the article, a person should try to live in a city where people are tzaddikim. You don't want to live where people are rishayim. But if you're going to live in a city where people are rishayim, it's better to live in a city, you know, let's say that's 10 years old, than a city that's 50 years old. Because the 50-year-old city is like the Aveirot have been building up and up. The 10-year-old city is just building up a little bit. So he says here, Shneamar hinina ha'irazot krova l'noshama v'himitzar. This is when Lot, he's a fleeing stone. So he says to the Malachim, this city is close by, and Behemitzar, and it's, one second, it's small, it's a small city. So my Krova, what does it mean close? Elam Krova de Makarva Vizuta, if it meant that it's like geographically close and geographically small, he says, Bahakachazula. The Malachim could see that. He doesn't have to say anything. Oh, the small close, it's right over here. He says, Elamitok Shishibata Krova. Rather, the point being that since it was settled more recently, Avonotel Mutzarin, it has fewer Aveirot. So he says, Amr Bavin, my Kra, the TV Malta no Shama. Let me flee there. Na Begmacha Chamishim Bakarhavi, 51. So this city of Tsoar, was founded 51 years before the incident with Stone. Michel Stone, Chamishim Vitarte. Stone was 52 years old. Now Rashi does the whole cheshbon with Stone. Michel Vata, turn page Yedav Omen Aleph, Chafav. It was Stone, like the golden age of Stone, if you can call it. And it was Stone lasted 52 years. That's the whole lifetime of Stone. And then it got destroyed. So its golden age was 26 years, and then the last 26 years were bad news. For 12 years of the last 26 years, so 12 years they were subjugated to Kedar LaOmer, and then 13 years they were in a state of rebellion. In other words, so it's not the 13th year. It was 12 years they're subjugated to Kedar LaOmer, 13 years in a state of rebellion, and the 14th year, Kedar LaOmer comes. So if you add the 12 and the 14, it's 26 years. So 26 and 26, that's the way it goes. So the point is that Lod was saying that you could spare Tsoar because they don't have as many Aveirot as Stone. Stone has been around 52 years, and Tsoar's only been around for 51 years. So, anyway, there's a lot more to talk about. Let me see if I have any stories here for tonight, and then we got to let everybody go. All right, I think we got it for tonight. Anyway, it was wonderful. Everybody unmute yourselves. Unmute everybody. Unmute. Unmute. Ed, unmute. Unmute everybody. Unmute. Unmuted.
Unmuted.
Okay, nice.
Unmuted.
Yeah, first of all.
Thank you, Eric.
I can't tell you how nice it is to see all of you. I'm here in this room. There's no base measures to go to. There's no minion to go to. I got these four walls and all this farm, which is nice. But I'm a people person, and I'm in Dafka. There's no people, and unfortunately, this looks like it's going to go on for months and months and months and months. But
this was
beautiful. Thank you.
Well, you're all doing a Kiddush Hashem by studying Daf Yomi and hopefully helping end this coronavirus thing, because the Kaddish Baruch is very angry with us for something. Okay, anyway,
I have a question. Is there any way to clarify the sound? It's very difficult to hear you. From where I'm sitting, yeah, anyway.
I don't know the answer to that question. Call Aaron Waxpress. And maybe he could help you. Do you have Aaron Waxpress's telephone number?
If you have something else on, that uses the internet, it might affect it.
If you touch your iPhone, it gets fuzzy.
All right.
That's, my question is very good,
you're right, everybody.
You only have the audio clearer.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, Ed, I want to see you tomorrow night, and David also. Let's work on getting some pictures here. Okay, and Yosef, well, I can't even see you with this thing. Are you going to be in the car every night now? Yosef?
I got a newborn.
So you have to be out of the house? What, the wife throws you out of the house because newborn?
I got to get out of my apartment.
You can't.
He's in exile.
Well, why can't you be in your apartment? I understand. Is it because your friend...
A newborn dies.
Yeah, newborn con needs attention.
So, but where, you must be sleeping somewhere.
You needed a break.
You're not sleeping in your car.
No, I'm not sleeping in my car.
What?
To work.
All right.
Peace of mind.
Good night.
All right, I'll see everybody.
You.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye, everybody.